Welcome into the Dynasty Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Podcast Network. I'm your host, Anthony Correnti, joined by my co-hosts, Ryan Searfoss and Eric Adams. We are back in business just before the NFL draft, here to talk my guys, rookie my guys. How we feeling, fellas? We're all back.
Dude, it feels so good to be back. I feel like we've been in chaos recently.
Feels to be back 1 week before the draft.
It does. Feel complete.
Yes.
I feel whole. Like the complete package you get when you sign up for the Rookie Big Board Discord for just $5.
Like, never missed a beat. Never missed a beat. Ryan was moving to his new house by the ocean and still had the podcast transition on deck.
The beautiful parking lot view, baby.
Well, it is officially rookie draft season. This is the month to try out the awesome resources available at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. Get in-depth rookie rankings, including film reviews on 80-plus prospects, personalized advice throughout your rookie draft from our super active Discord, and all patrons will receive Volume 2 of the 2024 Rookie Guide, updated the Sunday after the NFL draft with in-depth analysis and 2024 seasonal projections for every single rookie. It's the best resource out there to help you win your rookie drafts. You can get access to the Rookie Big Board resources for as cheap as $5 a month, or you save 15% with an annual subscription. It's an absolute no-brainer. Come on. The NFL draft's here. Rookie drafts are here. There's nothing left to think about. Patreon.com/rookiebigboard. On to the My Guys. Guys that we love. And I think they're a surprise for everybody. We don't even know who each other's guys are. I love the element of it's like Christmas morning here.
Shooting from the hip.
Eric, kick us off. Who is your first My Guy out of the 2024 rookie class?
The one that I want to start with, because this is a gosh dang tight end pod. Ooh. People, I've seen some talk about him. There needs to be more talk about Ben Sinnott from Kansas State.
Let's go.
This guy is good, man. Like, this is a very good football player that I feel like a lot of people are not realizing. He's closer to Brock Bowers than he is to tight end three. I just said that. He's better than Jatavion Sanders. I'm sorry. I like Jatavion Sanders. I think he's a good player. Ben Sinnott is going to come to a team and have that Sam. I'm not going to say he's going to be Sam Laporta, but he's going to have a Sam Laporta type impact for someone. He lined up everywhere. He did everything. Big, soft hands, big target. Like, he is, when you look at him, you're like, that's a tight end. He just looks like an NFL player, and he played like it. He played like it on tape. I love everything about Ben Sinnott. He's going to go earlier than people think, too. Like, I don't know back end round one. I'd be very surprised, but round two, he'll be off the board. He's going to be off the board in the top 50 picks. And I think that's when the fantasy community will come around and be like, oh, wow, the NFL really likes this guy. And they should. Because he can block, he's a good catcher. You know, his route tree is impressive enough to where it's like, okay, he could have a year one impact. I love Ben Sinnott. He's the definition of my guy. I'm a Ben Sinnott truther. And I hate the word truther.
But yeah.
What?
What? It's fine. It's fine in this case.
I'm accepting it. I'm a Ben Sinnott truther, 100%.
I like hearing you like him more than Jatavion Sanders. I think that's I don't think it's preposterous. I don't totally disagree with you. I think Jatavion Sanders leaves a little more to be desired than, you know, people want him to. I think he's fine,
also there's that conviction in a position where there's not much conviction this year.
Yeah.
Outside number one. Like, it's question marks. And take your dart throwing guy you're confident with, and if you're very confident, it works out, especially when there's ones ahead of him in the draft.
I agree with what you said, Eric, though. I think he, like, gets off the bus, and you're like, oh, that's their tight end, huh? Like,
that's tight end right there, yeah. You take one look at him, you're like, oh, yeah.
And he just has those good, reliable, soft, soft tight end hands.
Four balls, 64 yards, and a tutter. That's Ben Sinnott for you, and it'll make some nice blocks.
And you would take that every single week at the 100%. Tight end position. Imagine 100%. 4 for 64. Yeah, that would play.
That will.
All day.
All right, Ryan, who's your first guy that you got on the old my guy list?
I'm going with another guy who, when you get off the when he gets off the bus, you know it. That's Xavier Leggett. An absolute stud at 6'1", 220. We got a receiver who runs through you and punishes smaller DBs trying to cover him. He has elite speed at that massive size with a 4.39 40 at 220 pounds. This is a big man who runs after the catch. He has a 40-inch vertical to go with it, plays above the rim, and it shows he has that. He may place all over the field. Yes, he may have struggled at times of separation, but you know what? He does separate the ball, and when you can jump, like, if you're getting separation and it's through being able to bully the receiver or bully the DB and jump over them, it works out. He's a hyper athlete. Yeah, he's route tree limited, but we've seen that work with great athletes, and if he can refine it, that can be a big-time player in the NFL. And I fully believe in the athletic ability and skill set of this guy. And he's mean.
If loving Xavier Leggett is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Love him so much.
Oh.
Plain and simple. I don't care, analytics community. I know you're talking all the late breakout stuff. I get it. I don't care. That man is a freak. And I will choose. You want to know, we called DK Metcalf raw, and I was wrong on DK Metcalf. If I'm wrong on Leggett for liking him, so be it. Because, good Lord, that tape is so much fun.
Dude, it's so much fun. I'm going to say it right now. He filmed out my grading scale as my wide receiver 4. I don't know if he's for sure my wide receiver 4, but I love the game. And I think it's very good. I think he's a great player, and I'm going to put my stamp on him.
I love it.
All right. I'm definitely the lowest on Leggett. It sounds like
you're making a mistake.
Yeah. Hey,
is it because you don't like him or is it because you're scared?
It's mostly because I'm scared. It's mostly because I'm scared.
I understand that. I get that.
It's not that I don't like the idea of him, right? Like that's not it at all. It's just like the fear. There's other guys I'd rather take an earlier swing on and be like, have a little less fear. I just don't have a ton of conviction with him, and that's what leaves me being like, there's like, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 guys I'd rather have before him. Like, it's just, I won't ever end up with shares of Xavier Leggett, I'm sure, because there's a price point for me where it's like, oh, yeah, of course I'll take him here, but it's always going to be later than somebody else.
I get that. I 100% agree with that. It's scary thinking, like, there's a chance he goes round one. If not, he'll go high round two. And then in your rookie drafts, yeah, like especially if he lands with a good landing spot.
Yeah.
He's going to go high. Like he probably will go back end round one if somebody good gets, like if he goes to Kansas City.
Yeah, of course.
Out of control.
I'm so tired of the hype on players in Kansas City. I don't even want to talk about that.
Why?
That's fair. Ryan, I'll have you know, we mocked, Matt mocked Keon Coleman to Kansas City. Kansas City's probably not going to take a wide receiver in round one, aren't they?
No, they're going to do something else totally.
Yeah, they'll take like an edge guy or a lineman, and everyone will be like, well, I'm surprised. And it's like, they've done that for like 5 years in a row now.
Dude, if Adonai Mitchell goes to the Chiefs, he's wide receiver 2 in Dynasty, and everybody's making that mistake.
All right, well, let's transition here because Adonai Mitchell is my guy. Is my guy. All right. That's and if we're betting on traitsy wide receivers, we're betting on Adonai Mitchell. That's who here's the thing that I have realized more than ever before, I should say, through this pre-draft process is I might have a type. Like I might have a type here. And all that I do when I watch Adonai Mitchell is go, this is George Pickens. And I'm excited all over again. And I'm still in on George Pickens. I love Adonai Mitchell. I do. He's big, crazy wingspan, super fast, explosive, moves pretty smooth for a big guy. And it's almost like the opposite. It's almost like the bizarro George Pickens college career, right? Like Pickens had the injuries and everything, but had like the big 700-yard freshman season and then 500 the year after and 100 the year after when he tore the knee. And then Adonai Mitchell at Georgia only has 426 and then 134 and then kind of pops at Texas, 845 and 11 touchdowns. I don't know. I know he gets the knock sometimes. He doesn't play super intense all the time and, you know, needs more consistency there. But I really think he's going to go round one in the NFL draft.
Did you see who Lance Zierlein's comparison was for him?
No. Is it Pickens?
Is it yes. Pickens?
I totally get it. I totally get it. It feels like too easy. Like, oh, a couple of Georgia guys, you know, even though Mitchell transferred, but the body type is super similar. They're both just kind of that classic boundary X receiver. Like, and I think as much as the NFL can incorporate other newer, different things into offenses now and let some smaller guys shine and do what they do, that the NFL covets size and speed on the outside, like clockwork, like that.
Yep.
Guys who can win downfield that are big and have huge catch radiuses, those guys go round one or, like, at worst, top 50. Like, there's no chance to me that he makes it outside the top 50, and I really think he could go back end of round one. And I'd be totally fine taking him back end round one in rookie drafts. I think
he goes the Chiefs how high
in rookie drafts? Super flex. I would take him. Let's see who. All right, let's do the thing. Who would I take ahead of him if he goes to the Chiefs? I would take, and assuming decent landing spots for everybody else, right? Like, at least three of the quarterbacks go. Right,
Marv, what receivers?
All right, Marv. Neighbors, and I would still probably take Marv, Neighbors, and Rome ahead of him regardless. If he goes to the Chiefs,
Rome goes to the Jets, he goes to the Chiefs. Who you taking?
Rome specifically for Rome. Vibes. Like,
yeah, I would still take Rome.
Just for vibes.
Rome goes to the Giants.
If Rome goes to, I would take Rome. Rome, he's going to get so many targets if he goes to the Giants. If Rome goes to the Bears, that's the one where I'd be like, eh. Because then, like, I love it with Caleb, but you got two other wide receiver ones there, and Cole Kmet, yeah, and DeAndre Swift. That's a lot of that's a lot of mouths. You know, if he goes to the Chiefs, it's like, well, Rashee Rice might be in jail for the first month. So
you have a world where he could be wide receiver three.
It's possible. It's possible.
Yeah, so
there's a world he.
Sorry, say that one more time.
Wait, what was that?
I said there's a world he could be.
I think Ryan got caught in the Matrix.
The connection's messing up.
I died.
He's back. All right. Anyway.
I'm here. I said you can. Yeah.
Well, Mitchell, I'm a big Adonai Mitchell guy. I am, and
I'm with you. I'm on the train.
Happy to have you. But I get, like, that tier probably being similar for a lot of people, where it's like Mitchell, Leggett, like a bunch of those guys, I think are going to be stacked super close, and it's just kind of like pick your flavor. Who do you like? Where's the landing spot? Like,
yeah,
I think they're the run on round two receivers in the NFL draft. Like, day two receivers are going to go bonkers. If we get whatever, four, maybe five in round one, we might get another like seven in round two. Like, there's so many good players. Yep.
I want to throw one last thing out about Mitchell.
Yeah.
Now, this is not just about Mitchell. This is about wide receivers. Watch out for the 49ers. Mm. I could see the 49ers taking a guy. I don't know if I buy the... Whatever happens with Ayuk, man, I don't know. There's some smoke there. I could see him being traded. And if he gets traded, they will be going wide receiver at 31. So,
yeah.
It's true. That's a real possibility. We shall see. All right, Eric, who's your second guy? Who you got?
I am not wavering in the face of a poor combine. Bucky Irving is still my guy, I'm not moving off of it.
Yeah.
All right. You love to see
it. I refuse to move off of Bucky Irving. I don't care what he did in tights. This guy is one of the most elusive runners I've ever seen. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I've been wrong before at running back, but I've also been right before. So suck it. Bucky Irving, man, can catch passes. He can make a man miss in a phone booth. He is dumb slippery. He's got good enough size for me, I guess. And I don't care where he goes either. I've pled this case before with the running backs and the way the NFL looks at these guys nowadays. You got to plant your flag more than ever with running backs, because they're going to go late now. They're just going to keep going later and later. Your favorite running back, guys, I hate to say it to you, is probably not going to go till round three at the earliest. Mm-hmm. There might be one, maybe two, that go in the top 50 picks. Like, they're going to just start dropping more and more. And the NFL, quite frankly, told you what they think of the running back class. So, Bucky Irving goes round six. People come to laugh at me. I don't give a crap. I do not care. Like, obviously, the landing spot will matter, but I believe in that talent, and I think Bucky Irving's a really good player. So Bucky Irving will be my guy until he's out of the league. And I will, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I did like a whole like full circle moment, dude.
Wow.
I had like five or six different RB1s throughout this process. It started with Bucky Irving. It went through like three or four different guys, and it's back to Bucky Irving. So I'm sticking with Bucky Irving.
Yeah. Got to just trust your conviction.
I got to trust the gut. So
I think this year, especially at running back, like you said, the NFL told us what they think. They think the class stinks mostly, right? Because they went out and paid a bunch of free agent running backs. And
which never happens.
Which never happens. So the kind of appealing thing to me at running back this year is like almost everybody is presented the opportunity to get their guy at a discount, right? Because so many people have a different guy. Like, it's so like inconclusive. It seems like consensus, like, you know, like Jonathan Brooks as RB1. But even that's like, okay, kind of murky.
I'm sure there's some teams that will be different. There's going to be teams all over the place.
Of course.
Flavor of the week, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Point being that landing spot feels like it'll be even more important than draft capital this year for running backs, like, because the 100%. Draft capital is going to be bad for all of them.
It really will be. It really will be.
Yeah. I think they're largely going to go on day three. How many day two running backs do you think we get this year? I'm assuming we all believe we don't get any in round one.
Three.
Three on day two.
Yeah, I'd say three is a good number.
I'll even give you the names. I think Blake Corum, Jonathan Brooks, and Trey Benson go day three.
Yeah, that's, or day two. Seems probably about right.
I don't think anybody else does.
All right, Ryan, who's your second guy on the old my guy totem pole?
This my guy is not a fantasy guy. I just love the guy. I love the player. Tight end, he's kind of that mix between tight end, fullback, bring back the fullback, best position in football. And he does a little bit of everything. He catches the ball in the backfield. He can stretch downfield. He's athletic enough while he's undersized. But he's a guy who can be used in all different ways. And if you have him on a team that's creative enough, especially on the backfield, a la New England, who we've talked about before the show, he's the perfect fit as that kind of like all-terrain weapon. Like we see at Cal Jasinski, maybe a little bit more tight end rise. He's a very good football player who's a cool weapon for a team. Will he ever be fantasy relevant? Probably not. He's my guy, and I love him.
I will always take a chance on uber athletic tight ends. I do not know how to quit them. So, Jaheim Bell, come on down.
I'll never stop on athletic tight ends. It's your best bet.
It's like a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
Give it a shot. Give it a roll of the dice.
Yeah, just, you know, it'll be late enough taking your shot, even fantasy-wise. It's not going to cost you
fifth round, fourth round. Yeah, it's free.
Pluck them off waivers, maybe, like, depending on how deep the draft goes. Yeah, I'm you're not going to spend a whole lot. And, hey, that proves fruitful sometimes if you got taxi spots where you can stash guys for a little while. And then, you know, tight ends take some time. But it's a tight end pod. Show the tight end some love. Got Jaheim Bell getting getting love.
Who tight ends? Are you going to make the trifecta?
I've thought about it because there was part of me that wanted us to do the thing, and I thought you guys would do tight ends, and part of me wanted to be like, you know, our powers combined, we're a tight end pod. But I couldn't. I didn't want to do another tight end. I honestly had a feeling that Eric was going to like Sanat, and that would have been, if I picked one, that's probably who I would have picked. So I picked one of the bad running backs from this class. But I don't think he's a bad player. I think he's a good player. Still, I'm still in. Similar to not quitting on Bucky Irving, I'm not quitting Braylon Allen. It's not happening. I'm not doing it. Because if I'm betting on a day three running back, I'm probably going to bet on one that's in the 95th percentile height and weight wise. Just a big battering ram that I think like is a little faster than he gets credit for. I know, you know, no, he didn't run at the combine. Everybody was mad. But like, I think in a, with a head of steam in the open field, Braylon Allen builds up some speed, man. And it's always the same talking points. You know, he's big, he's strong, he's super young. And all those things are true, but I think he has the ability to be a better pass catcher than he's ever been relied on at Wisconsin. I don't think he's like, you know, Alvin Kamara, but few guys are. Point being, I think he has the skill set that could be molded into like pretty close to a three-down back. And I don't think they're the same guy, but I think he's a little more nimble than he gets credit for, and that's kind of how I felt about Ramondre Stevenson coming out too. Like, and I think that the NFL, if the opportunity is there, and smaller backs, you know, they can be great too. But I think when a guy who has elite measurables when it comes to size and has a huge, you know, track record of, 1,200 yards as a freshman at Wisconsin, 1,200 yards as a sophomore, and then just under 1,000 this past season on 181 carries, like, guy has 35 rushing touchdowns across his career in college. Like, big guy. Nose for the end zone. I pray that this guy ends up a Los Angeles Charger. I really do. Because Harbaugh will run him till the wheels fall off. No offense to the Gus Bus.
Either that or a Dallas Cowboy.
Or a Dallas Cowboy. Dude, that will play,
too. They just broke the bank on Royce Freeman. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Royce Freeman. Shout out Royce Freeman getting a contract.
Who's he playing for?
The Cowboys.
Cowboys.
All right, moving on.
That was a splash move.
All right, moving on. But, yeah, I don't think Braylon, I agree with what you said, Eric. I think that those three guys that you said go on day two are probably the guys. I don't think Braylon Allen gets day two draft capital. I think he's a day three guy. Hopefully, like, a round four guy.
I think he's a round four guy. That's where I got him.
Yeah, if he's a round four guy in a good landing spot, I think we're going to hopefully get a chance to see him get some real work. And I hope we do. I think he could be more than just a two down back, you know, as part of a committee. But hey, if that's even what he ends up being, he's going to be a two down back who's got a damn good nose for the end zone. So those guys hang around on rosters too.
And they have fantasy value.
Yeah, for sure.
Look at what we saw when you put one of them in a good offense. A la Jamal Williams.
Yep.
Any Lions, big back.
Any guy that goes to the Lions.
any guy who's over 220 in the Lions backfield or an offense like that, they're going to get touchdowns. Look at Gus Edwards. He just scored touchdowns last year, and it made him fantasy relevant. You don't got to be fast. You just got to be able to get through there if you're on a good team.
The thing that I want to see with Braylon Allen, this is basically with any running back if we're going to talk fantasy relevance. The 30 reception threshold, yeah. I need to see that. If you can hit that, then whatever he does with the rushing, hopefully it's good. That's what I look for when it comes to fantasy. If you can catch the ball, hit that 30 reception mark, and then we're talking.
I also think that he still has, like, I should say this about almost all of these running backs specifically in this class and in most classes coming out of college. You know, there's room to grow as in pass pro, which I know isn't the sexy fantasy thing, but I think he could really get good there. Like, he's got the size, man. He's
built
big.
Like a brick shit house. Yeah. He should be able to
size. So like,
play into something.
Coach him up, and then it's going to be tough to get him off the field, even if he's like just kind of adequate as a receiver and gets to that, you know, 30, 35 receptions. Of course you want more, but just keep him on the field. Just give him the opportunities. Yeah, I'm still in. And I don't know, you could probably snag him later than I would have him, you know, in a vacuum, I guess. But, you know, late round two, early round three in rookie drafts, and that feels kind of fun. All right, we each had two guys. We have anybody else we want to throw in at the end here?
I have two final ones. One I'll be quick with, one I'm going to be a little longer with. One, the quick one is Troy Franklin. People, stop.
Yeah.
The people who hate Troy Franklin, stop.
Good at ball.
NFL that doesn't like apparently Troy Franklin, stop. You're going to be wrong. He's going to be good. That's enough of that. I don't care about the size. The one that I want to pound the table for is another tight end. Tanner McLaughlin, man. I'm not moving off of that one. Benson, I believe in a little more. Tanner McLaughlin's probably going to go day three. But if his quarterback wasn't straight butt cheese, like, he would have been really good. Like, he had such, like, potential to be a dominant college tight end. And he's still, with that butt cheese quarterback, caught 45 balls, 528 yards, and 4 touchdowns last year. I know with tight ends it's finicky, but like I just feel like there's something there. He's got good size, 6'5", 245. He looks like he ran a 4.6, 1.2 in the 40. Like, come on. I like what I see from Tanner McLaughlin. Like, I think you could do way worse on day three than Tanner McLaughlin, the tight end. So I will keep my eye on him. He's one of my guys too.
Ryan, you got anybody else you want to add?
Ricky Purcell, receiver from Florida. Oh,
Slick Rick.
Slick Rick.
Slick Rick.
Man. This is a Slick Rick pod.
That dude looks like he has super glue on his hands.
Yeah.
He catches anything. He only needs one hand. He's explosive when he has the ball in his hands. He's a good route runner. I think he's a top end slot receiver slash return guy. I love Slick Rick.
Let me ask you guys, Slick Rick or Ladd?
It's Ladd, but it's closer than
they're neck and neck.
Closer than people let on. Yeah.
It's a lot closer than people get on. Like,
I don't love that Ladd is small and he has injury issues. That's a problem for me. Dude. But he's a stud.
Yeah, I like Ladd a little better, but it's very close.
I think he's getting slept on because of Ladd. Like, with the similar skill set, Ladd has all this shine to him. Dude, he's good, man.
He's definitely good. He's definitely been like underappreciated through the process.
Yeah, definitely.
He's an instant starter in the NFL.
Yeah, agreed.
Yep, he's gonna be a day two steal. He will be a day two steal for someone, and it'll be, we'll look back in 2 years and be like, why the hell did he go that low? And it'll be like, well, because the NFL does this every time. So Slick Rick, baby.
All right, so I talked about two guys that are like big size guys. I think the NFL likes size, but
we're gonna get a 2-2,
but if there's one thing besides tight ends that this podcast does, it's we stand short kings.
Okay? Yes, sir.
Jacob Cowing is a short king.
Okay.
And we're going deep, but Jacob Cowing is a guy that I'm going to try and take in the fourth round of every rookie draft I'm in. Every single one. And it's not going to be super, you know, it's not going to get any buzz. It's not going to get any buzz, okay? Jacob Cowing isn't going to get drafted super early, but I think he's a slot receiver, like a pretty good slot receiver potentially at the next level. He's small. He is a tiny feller. There's no way about it. Third percentile height, 5'8 and 3/8", 168 pounds. It's the first percentile. He's a little tiny fella. You know what's kind of crazy is on mock draftable, the comparisons, the comparable players there. The top one is Greg Dortch, which, okay, you know, shout out Greg Dortch. But then it's kind of an interesting lift. Hollywood Brown, better player than he gets credit for, probably. Taj Washington, okay, another rookie. But then Wandale, Mecole, Zay Flowers, Tutu, Andy Isabella, and Jalen Waddle. Those are the top comparisons. I'm not saying that Jacob Cowing is those players. I'm not even saying Jacob Cowing is Tank Dell. Okay. I liked Tank Dell more last year. I think Tank Dell is a way better separator. But I think Jacob Cowing is pretty good. I think he's pretty good in that area. And I think he's going to hang around on an NFL roster and be a slot receiver for somebody. Like, I think probably pretty quick. Like, I think he's going to be hard to keep off the field for a team that needs pass catchers or needs another option to spread the field. And, you know, you hope the small guy could stay healthy. But cheap in rookie drafts, I'm taking shots on him.
Watching Tanner McLaughlin, Got a good taste of Jacob Cowing and watched him as well. Again, quarterback stinks.
Yeah.
Jacob Cowing's a good player.
Yeah. Quarterback is not good.
A lot of players, quarterbacks stinking this year. A lot of people with bad quarterbacks every year.
That is true.
That's also true.
Shout out to Mar for escaping. Thank God.
Dude,
he made it out.
That guy should be in jail, buddy. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Also, you know, maybe we should have said at the top, but like, obviously we love all those top guys. I think we all just, you know, dove a little deeper for the real, nobody wants to hear you say you're my guy is Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't take a lot of guts. Doesn't take a lot of guts. But when the rest of these hit, you come clip this tape. All right.
We'll pull the receipts.
Yeah. We and if we're wrong, we're deleting it from the internet. For good.
Goes to infamy.
So listen to this at least three times and save it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's going to be deleted if not. And while you're there, join the Discord.
Join the Discord. And yeah, if it's if the take's bad, don't tweet it at me. You know, I'm not, I don't check the notifications. Sorry.
Sneak. I don't read my DMs. Yeah. I don't hear all the bad stuff.
Come to the Discord instead. It's where civilized people hang out. Patreon.com/RookieBigBoard, in case you missed it earlier. Thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you haven't already, do us a favor and leave a 5-star review on whichever podcast app you're using. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss any of the Rookie Big Board action. And we'll talk to you next week. We're NFL drafting next week, right?
Yes, sir.
We're mock drafting. We'll talk to you right before that.
Later, taters.